Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. Today, Pastor Rich is going to be in Acts chapter 1. Sometimes this is called the Acts of the Apostles. Sometimes it's called the Acts of Peter and Paul, because it focuses a lot on that, on those two. Sometimes it's called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's even called the Acts of Jesus Christ. But I just call it the Book of Acts. So we're going to be in Acts. Pastor Rich is going to be preaching from chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. But I think I'm going to go back and start in verse 6 and read through 11. So in verse 6, we read, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.'" Verse 8, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," sometimes called the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 9, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Amen. Jesus has ascended to heaven, and we have the promise that one day he's coming back for us, coming back for his bride, the church. So that's the reading of God's word this morning. And in this message, which is the journey to Pentecost, the ascension, a call to witness, you know, we're focusing on this call to witness. I think it's also a journey through some basic Bible doctrines as well. Pastor Rich is going to touch on the authority of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, going to get into missions. And you remember he had a long sermon series on being active disciples. We're going to get a little bit of that as well. Pastor Rich.
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. For the past 3 weeks, we've been walking through the incredible events that took place after Easter. This morning, I'm going to start out with asking a question. Have you ever found yourself at the end of something truly incredible and wondered, what now? Maybe it was after finishing a big project at work, or graduating from school, or even saying goodbye to a loved one. There's a strange tension between the sense of accomplishment and the uncertainty of what comes next. The disciples must have felt something similar after witnessing the resurrection of Jesus. Their leader, their friend, the one they had followed for years, had conquered death itself. It was a victory beyond human comprehension. Yet as they stood in his presence, listening to his final words, they must have wondered, what now? Last week we saw Jesus give his disciples the Great Commission, a charge to go and make disciples of all nations. It was a grand vision, But how could they possibly accomplish such an enormous task? They were just ordinary people, fishermen, tax collectors, and everyday folks with limited influence and power. How could this small, seemingly insignificant group carry the hope of the world to every corner of the earth? And then, just when they thought they might get some more clarity or guidance, Jesus did something entirely unexpected. He ascended into heaven, leaving them standing there, staring at the sky. It must have felt like the end, like they were being left to figure it all out on their own. But what they didn't realize was that this wasn't the end of the story. It was the beginning of something greater. The ascension of Jesus is a call to action. It's a powerful reminder that the mission didn't end when Jesus returned to the Father. In fact, it was just getting started. Jesus' departure marked the beginning of the church's mission to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The disciples were not left alone. They were entrusted, equipped, and empowered to continue his work. Today, as we look at the story of the ascension, we'll see how Jesus' return to the Father wasn't a goodbye. It was a handoff. It was a call to take up the mission and move forward in faith. Please open your Bibles to Acts as we read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father had promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Now, from these verses, there are four lessons I want us to focus on this morning. The first lesson: Jesus' ascension confirms his authority. Jesus' ascension confirms his authority. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now, as the disciples stood there watching Jesus ascend into the clouds, it must have felt surreal. Just days earlier, he had risen from the dead, proving that not even death could defeat him. And now, as he rose into the heavens, it might have seemed like the story was coming to an unexpected and abrupt end. But what they couldn't yet grasp was that this moment wasn't about an ending, it was about a beginning. You see, the ascension is not a retreat or an abandonment. It's a further declaration of authority. Jesus didn't disappear into the sky as some distant, uninvolved figure. Instead, he took his rightful place at the right hand of the Father as the victorious and reigning king. This was not a moment of loss, but a moment of coronation. Luke, the author of Acts, begins this passage by reminding us that Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God. It wasn't wasted time or idle conversation. It was intentional preparation. Jesus wanted his followers to understand the magnitude of what had happened and what was about to happen. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 tells us, "He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." Jesus didn't just appear once or twice. He spent 40 days proving his victory and teaching about the kingdom. Why? because he wanted them to know that the mission wasn't over. In fact, it was just getting started. The kingdom of God wasn't something that ended with his ascension. It was something that would spread through his followers as they took up the mission he entrusted to them. This is the mission we discussed last week, the Great Commission. The ascension marks the moment when Jesus, having conquered death, assumes his position as the reigning king. As Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 tells us, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This was an enthronement. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. As we carry out this mission, we do so with the full backing of the King of Kings. His authority is the foundation of our mission. It's what gives us confidence to step out in faith, knowing that we are not just representing a good cause, we are representing the King. And if that weren't already enough, Jesus also leaves us the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, empower, and convict us along the journey. Which takes us to our second lesson, the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit, seen in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5 and verse 8. As the disciples stood there still trying to make sense of all that had happened, Jesus gave them a simple but crucial instruction: wait. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Now imagine how hard that must have been. After everything they had witnessed, the resurrection, the teachings, the miraculous moments, they were probably eager to go out and do something, to take action, to make a difference. But instead, Jesus tells them to wait. Why wait? Because the mission they were being called to was far too great to be accomplished in their own strength. They were being commissioned to carry the message of salvation to the ends of the earth, an unimaginable task for a small, unremarkable group of disciples. Jesus knew that before they could move forward, they needed something more. They needed power beyond themselves. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The disciples needed to understand that they were not being sent out as mere messengers. They were being sent as empowered witnesses. Jesus was not asking them to manufacture their own strength or muster up their own courage. Instead, he was giving them the very presence of God to dwell within them. The Holy Spirit is not just a helper. He is the Spirit of the living God, equipping us for the mission ahead. He empowers us to speak truth, to love boldly, and to live lives that reflect the grace of Christ. This power is the divine enablement to carry out God's work in the world. And notice how Jesus ties the power to the mission. You will be my witnesses. The Spirit doesn't just give power for the sake of power. He empowers us for a purpose. The purpose is to proclaim the good news, to make known the love of Christ, and to be living testimonies of his transforming grace. We too are called to be witnesses, but not in our own strength. The challenges we face, the conversations we have, the people we love, they all require supernatural empowerment. We are not left to figure it out alone. The Spirit of God equips us, guides us, and fills us with the courage we need to move forward. So as we take on the mission before us, let us remember that our power does not come from within. It comes from the one who reigns on high and has given us his Spirit. We move forward not in fear, but in confidence, knowing that the Spirit of God is with us, empowering us to make Jesus known to the ends of the earth. Now, next lesson this morning is a mission that expands to the ends of the earth, as it says in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. So as Jesus prepares to ascend, he gives them a clear and compelling strategy for the mission ahead. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now I want everyone to notice how Jesus outlines the expanding nature of the mission. First, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, that means their immediate community. This is where they were most comfortable, surrounded by people who spoke the same language and shared the same culture. The mission would begin right there among those they already knew. Then Judea and Samaria, that's their broader region, including places and people that might have made them uncomfortable or challenged their preconceived notions. Samaria especially represented a cultural and religious divide that the disciples would have to overcome. And then the ends of the earth. That's the global call to reach all nations, every tribe, and every tongue. It would take them beyond their familiar surroundings, past their borders and comfort zones, to places they could not yet imagine. The mission is ever expanding. It starts where they are, but does not stay there. It grows, stretches, and moves outward, carrying the good news to every corner of the globe. This pattern is not just for the disciples, it's for us as well. We too are called to begin where we are, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, and in our workplaces. But we can't let it stop there. The gospel is not a private possession to be hoarded or confined to our immediate circles. It's a transformative truth that demands to be shared, breaking through barriers of culture, language, and geography. Sometimes we can get stuck in comfortable Christianity, content to share our faith within familiar settings. But Jesus' commission challenges us to move beyond comfort and into places that may seem uncertain or even uncomfortable. Whether it's crossing the street to meet a neighbor, crossing the room to talk to someone new, or crossing borders to share the gospel with those in other cultures, the mission requires boldness, courage, and a willingness to step into the unknown. And notice how this mission begins, not with programs or plans, but with people. Jesus doesn't commission an institution. He commissions individuals to be witnesses, those who testify to what they have seen, heard, and experienced. We are called to bear witness to the love of Christ wherever we go, knowing that his Spirit goes before us and empowers us to make his name known. As we consider our part in this mission, let us ask ourselves, where is my Jerusalem? Who are the people right around me that need to hear the good news? Where is my Judea and Samaria? What uncomfortable places or unexpected people might God be calling me to reach? What does the end of the earth look like for me? How can I support global missions, whether by going, giving, or praying? Daybreak Community Church, let me be perfectly clear. The mission is the heartbeat of the church. Jesus has called us to go, and as we go with the confidence that he reigns, he empowers, and he is with us every step of the way. Amen? Amen. The last lesson I want us to look at today is don't just stand there. Don't just stand there, as seen in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. After Jesus ascends, the disciples stand gazing into heaven, likely overwhelmed by what just happened. Then two angels appear and say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The message is clear. Don't just stand there. Go and do what he commanded. It's a reminder to us as well. The ascension is not the end of the story. Jesus is coming back. And until then, we have work to do. We are called to live with urgency, sharing the gospel and being faithful witnesses of Christ. The question is, are we standing around or are we stepping into the mission? Let's be a people who live boldly, knowing that Jesus reigns, His Spirit empowers, and His mission continues through us. Amen? Amen. Let us reflect upon His message, and God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.